All right, we're on Daf Hey tonight. So if you remember, yesterday and in previous days, we learned the Mishnah says there are four avot nezikim, and then Rav Oshia taught a brisa that there were 13 avot nezikim, and then Rabbi Chiya taught a brisa that there were 24 avot nezikim. So the Gemara says, how come Rav Oshia left out the items that Rav Chiya had? So the Gemara says Rav Oshia doesn't count knas. Knas are penalties Torah imposes when you have a set amount. For example, like kefel would be a knas, onus and mefata would be a knas. So he doesn't count those. So on the top line in Ham and Aleph, so the Gemara says, everybody with me, the top line Ham and Aleph, Edom Zomin d'mamona hu litni. So how come Rav Oshia doesn't count Edom Zomin? Rav Chiya counted Edom Zomin. Edom Zomin are first people, testify falsely against someone, to be mechayiv him mamon, and then they're liable for it. So Edom Zomin d'mamona hu litni. You think that Edom Zomin is mamon, and he says, so they should teach it. So the Gemara says, Sabra like Rabbi Akiva, that he, Rav Oshia, holds like the Tana Rabbi Akiva, the Amar in the Shalmin Apiatzman, that Edom Zomin means like this. Let's say you have an Ed Zomim, and he testifies falsely in court, or you have a set of witnesses that testify falsely in court, and they say Reuven owes $1,000 to Shimon, and then Mizimim come in and say, how could that be possible? Imanu Yitim, you were with us. So before the victim, in this case Reuven, can sue them to get the money, is the money that they tried to be motzi from him, they go to another court, the Edom Zomim do, and they say we were Edom Zomim. So Rabbi Akiva holds that Eimei Shalmin Al Pi Atzman, Mota B'Knas is Patur. If a person admits something that he owes Knas, he's Patur. Like the Ganav, he admits that he stole, he's not Chayev Kefel. So the Edom Zomim who admit are not Chayev. So that sounds like it's. So the Gemara says, so we thought initially in the question, we thought Edom Zomim is Mamon. So Rav Oshia learns things that are Mamon. But then the Gemara says, no, he, Rav Oshia, holds like the Tana Rabbi Akiva, or Rabbi Akiva is a Tana. Rav Oshia is an Amara, but he follows the sheet Tana Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, Isavar like Rabbi Akiva, if Rav Oshia subscribes to Rabbi Akiva's shito, so litni trei gavnei shor. So then there's another question that we have. He should teach there's two types of shor. If you remember, Rav Oshia taught, again, Rav Oshia was in the shita of Rav. Rav taught that Mava is Adam Amazik. So the Gemara says, so within Rav, how come he teaches in the Mishnah Mava Adam, and yet in the Braisa, he teaches like Nezek Tzar, Ripui Shevet, and Boshet? So we both have, a set of, damages that man causes. Why do I have two sets? So we said yesterday that Rav Oshia subscribes to the idea you have, Adam the Azik Shor, man harms property, he harms the shore. So that's one type of damages, and that's in the Mishnah. And then in his Braisa, it's Adam the Azik Adam, man that damages another person. So the Gemara says, oh, so you have two types of Adam. So you can have two types of shore also. You'd have a shore the Azik shore the damage the shore, and shore the Azik Adam. So the Gemara said that's really the same thing because it's just the same nezek. There's the same measure of damages would apply in both cases. With Adam Dazik Adam, so I have four elements or five elements of damage, and then Adam Dazik Shor, I have one element of damage. But Shor Dazik Shor and Shor Dazik Adam, same thing. So now the Gemara says on line three on the Daf Yom and Aleph, he says Isavar like Rabbi Akiva, Rav Oshia holds like Rabbi Akiva, Litni Trei Gavni Shor. So now the question is reinstated. He should learn there's two types of shore. How so? Litni shore to Azik shore, litni shore to Azik Adam. There is now a difference in halacha. We assumed, but initially yesterday, that there was no difference in halacha between shore to Azik shore and shore to Azik Adam. But he says there is a difference. We'll see in one second. It's not because we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva Shalem Shalem. So Rabbi Kiva holds, and I'll explain in 1 minute. In other words, normally we have a short tom, you're chayav chatzi nezek. If you own the short tom and it gores someone or something, so you're chayav chatzi nezek. If it's a shor muad, you're chayav nezek shalem. Rabbi Akiva holds that's true, but it's only true of a shor is azik another shor. Then you have tom and muad. According to the Tana Rabbi Akiva, if a short tom is azik adam, if it injures a man, then you're always chayav nezik shalem. Now Rabbi Akiva says this. Let's go over this mission again slowly. So the mission later on, this mission is on Daf Lamed Gimel. So the mission later on is talking about, let's say you have, two shvarim that both injure one another. So then, the one that caused the greater damage, in other words, it'll be a little set off. In other words, let's say you have shore A and shore B. So shore A did 100, zuzim of damage against shore B, and shore B did 200 zuzim of damage against shore A. So shore B owes, 100 zuzim to shore A. So he says, but Rabbi Kiva Meir, af tam shechaval ba'adam, let's say you have a shore tam that injured a man, mishalim b'motar nezik shalim. So in other words, the man damaged the shore, and the shore damaged the man. They both injured each other, but the tam shechaval ba'adam, the shore was a shore tam, and it damaged a man, mishalim b'motar, and for the excess, it pays nezik shalim. So the man damaged the shore 100 zuzim, and the shore damaged the man 1,000 zuzim. So the excess is 900 zuzim. So for the 900 zuzim, Rabbi Kiva holds that he pays nezik shalim. So if that's the case, so there's a difference between shore to azik shore and shore to azik adam, according to Rabbi Akiva. In other words, we said that in the Mishnah, we were talking about shore to azik shore. So shore to azik shore, so if it's a shore tam, then it's only going to be chatzi nezik. But if it's a shore to azik adam, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's always going to be nezik shalim. It's always going to be nezik shalim. So that's a difference. So is there being a difference now in halacha, according to Rav Oshia? If Rav Oshia follows Rabbi Akiva, which we said he does, so then there's going to be a difference in halacha between shore to azik shore and shore to azik adam. So if that's the case, so he should count it twice. So the Gemara says, Hatava Rabbi Akiva l'gzize. Rabbi Akiva, Tabri Zize can mean the club, or Rashi says the fist. He broke the fist, means he undercut his own question. In other words, by his shita, he says the Tanya, because we learn in the Brisa, Rabbi Kiva Meir Yachol Aftam Shechav Abadam Yishalim Min HaAliyah. Now with the Shor Muad, there's a couple of different dinim with the Shor Muad. Again, Shor Tam Yipei Chasi Nezek. In a short muad, you pay nezek shalim. But another difference between the two is, right, in other words, a short tam, you only pay from the shore itself, So your recovery is limited to the value of the shore, with maximum. But the short muad, there you pay, meitav, So now Rabbi Akiva holds that when it comes to a shore that damages a man, you're paying nezek shalim. So even the short tam has a din of a short muad. So I would expect, I would think, if it's shor muad, so you even get meitav. You get, meitav means the best land. In other words, not just the shore. So the Brisa says on line 8, the Tani Rabbi Kiva Mir Yechol Av Tam Shechval Badam Yishalim Min Aliyah, I might have thought that even a tam that injures or damages a man, so the owner of the tam, Yishalim Min Ha'aliyah, he should pay from meitav. In other words, but he says, Tamad Lomar Yeaselo. He says, "Kamishpata zayya." So it's not 100% like the shor muad. In other words, so right. And well, in other words, like this: the short tam, if he's azik adam, so he's chayim nezik shalem. But the amount you recoup is limited to the value of the shore. So that being the case, it's not really like a shor muad. 100% like a shor muad. Right. So therefore, he doesn't teach it. That's the way Rashi learns Pshat in the Gemara. Okay, let me pause for a second. Let's take some questions, comments, and thoughts. And anybody have any questions? Everybody good? Everybody happy?
The third time, okay.
Right. Then he'd be like, move on. It might be, again, okay. Welcome. All right. Okay, so any questions? Otherwise, I'm moving on. Everybody good? Okay. All right. Now, let me do a little piece. We have some time today, so let me go over this a bit. Now we spoke about Adim Zomimim as being according to Rabbi Chia, that's one of the Avot Nezikim. That's Adim Zomimim. Now when we spoke about Adim Zomimim, it's a little tricky because remember the Gemara learned that Adim Zomimim is kasher asah amam, lo kasher asah. Inim zomim are that which they plotted to do, not that they actually did. So what? Let's just think this through. Let's just think for 1 second. So how is Edom Zomim a nezek? In other words, the Edom are coming in and testifying false, and but it's kasher zaman below kasher asah. It's that they plotted to do, but not that they actually did anything. In other words, they give the false thing. How can that be a nezek? What nezek have I suffered? In other words, they're just testifying, but it didn't cost me any money. So how is this case in the Zikim, right? It should be nothing. It's not. I mean, it's not even nezek. In other words, the whatever money comes in, okay, it could be kenas, but how? All right, we'll see in a minute. All right. Just 1 second. Let's do the second last Tosfos. Okay, we'll talk. Okay, on Dalet Amud Beis. Let's look in Tosfos. We don't need to think. We just look in Tosfos. The Tosfos will help us out. The second to last. Dalet Amud Beis. Okay. So on page eight, Dalet Amud Beis, 4b, the second list host of Edom Zomin, Pirish Riva, Dafilu Shilem al Pi Edom Zomin, Chayavin. So the Riva says that when Rabbi Chiya talks about Edom Zomin, he means that even if they paid money out, they would still recuperate. So Shaykh B'mamalon, Kasher Zomamalon, Kasher Asad, the Efshar B'chazara. So he says, by Mamon, in other words, the Riva wants to say by Mamon, in other words, the Riva is really the Kaddish, a whole different din. In other words, when we say Kasher Zaman lo Kasher Asah, let's say they testify Ploni killed somebody. So then if they're proved Edom Zomim is, you know, before the din is carried out, then we kill them. But once we've executed the person, then it's Kasher Zaman lo Kasher Asah. The Riva says we would not say that by money. In other words, by money, let's say they testify Reuven owed $1,000 to Shimon. And let's say Reuven paid the $1,000 to Shimon. According to the Riva, since Shimon could give the money back to Reuven, even after he's paid the money, it's still a type of kasher zaman lo kasher asah. All right, we'll see. We'll see in a minute. All right, we'll see in a minute. So a minute. So he wants to say that you have Edom Zomim there. Now, a payment which equals the amount of damages caused is classified as mamon. A fixed payment not based on the amount of damage caused, this is from the DAF Digest, or which exceeds the amount of damage caused, is classified as a knas, payment, penalty, penalty. The Gemara on Dalet Beis says our mission discusses damage payments which fall into the category of mamon, but omits payments which are categories as knas, just as kefel. So, and the twofold payment. So he says the Mishnah does. And remember, the first price it did as well. Now, a knas payment such as kefa, or this we got, I'll skip this now. The Gemara in Daf Hey cites a dispute as to whether the payment imposed on Edom Zomim is categorized as knas or mamon. Edom Zomim are witnesses who testified, for example, that Reuven owed Shimon $100 and were subsequently disproved by other witnesses who testified the first pair of witnesses with them, Yimanu Yitem. The first pair of witnesses, well, the Edom Zomim are obligated to pay Reuven $100, even though he did not yet pay Shimon. Yes. Since this is what they fraudulently tried to extract from him. Rabbi Akiva says that if someone admits to Bezdin that he was proven to be an Edom Zomim, Bezdin does not obligate him to pay Reuven $100. This is because Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion the payment imposed on Edom Zomim is classified as a knas, and as such, it is not imposed on one by his own admission. Now, the payment of Edom Zomim is not compensatory in nature, because even when the Edom Zomim plans were foiled and they were discredited before money was unlawfully extracted from their victim, the Torah still obligates Edom Zomim to pay the intended victim the amount they intended to unlawfully extract from him. Such a payment is considered knas, since they must pay even though the intended victim did not suffer loss. Okay, so he's going with the Mahalach that Edom Zomim is knas. So it's knas, it's a penalty, you know, above and beyond whatever damage you called. So that's pretty straightforward. Now, that's according to Rabbi Akiva. Remember, the Gemara said, the through question of the Gemara was on Daf Hamad Aleph, Edom Zomim or Mamo. So the Gemara says that, so how come Rav Oshia doesn't teach it? So the Gemara says Rav Oshia holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds their Kanas, and Rav Oshia is not teaching Kanas. Fine. Now the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva and classify the payment of Edom Zomim as Mamon. So the Chachamim say it's Mamon, it's not Kanas. So how could it be Mamon? So the Nesiv suggests that the Chachamim consider the payment of Edom Zomim as Mamon only in a case in which the victim suffered a non-recoverable loss. He says, in other words, he's talking about the way that Nesiba understands the Shita of Chachamim. In other words, why would it ever be Mamon? Because it's Kasher is Mamon, lo Kasher Asa. So we saw a little bit of a clue in the puzzle. So the Nesib says in the Rome Sadeh, he says that it's classified as Mamon according to the Chachamim. Let's say the Toveya, let's say Reuven sought $100 from Shimon. Shimon is the victim of the plot. And then Shimon pays Reuven, and Reuven flies off to, you know, the end of the earth. He's not around anymore. But now Shimon has suffered a damage. He has suffered a loss. So the Nesiv says that the coming to the Kimon as Mamon only in the case in which the victim suffered a non-recoverable loss. However, in a case in which they were discredited prior to causing Reuven a loss, the Chachamim will agree with Rabbi Akiva, payment levied on Zomim falls in the category of Knas. So we could understand now, we could say the Nekudu L'machloket then, between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, yeah, it doesn't even sound like that big a dispute. In other words, it sounds like even the Chachamim will agree with Rabbi Akiva that it's Knas, where no money is paid, but where the money has been paid and you can't get it anymore, then the Chacham will say it's Mamon. Now, alternatively, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman explains that Chacham consider the pain. This, I think, is what you were saying a little before, Michael. And he said, did we hear anything about this or not? Okay, so he says, he explains that Chacham consider the payment imposed on Adam Zoman as Mamon in all cases, even when they did not cause their intended victim a loss. This is more of a Chiddush type thing. Mamon, Rabbi Elchanan explains, Torah did not simply penalize Adam Zoman for trying to cause a loss. Rather, the Torah decreed that the judgment that Bezin initially imposed on the victim based on the false testimony of Adam Zomin should be shifted from the victim and placed instead on the Adam Zomin. This is like more of a fundamental understanding of it. In other words, the point to Rabbi Elchanan, the Torah is saying the din that the Bezin, in other words, the Adam Zomin, in other words, there proved to be Adam Zomin after the Gemara din. So there's the Gemara din in Bezin that Reuven owes $100 to Shimon. So then, when the Bezin, the proof of Adam Zomin, the Torah is saying, Vasitam lo kasher zamam, do as they plotted, but it means that that original din that was imposed on Shimon is now imposed on the Adam Zomin. So just like there was a money judgment against Shimon, now the Adam Zomin had a money judgment. Please, let's be patient. Since the judgment initially imposed on the victim was in the category of Mamon, when that judgment shifts to the Edom Zomin, it retains its classification of Mamon. That's a very, very fancy, but a very nice, Hesber in the Gemara. So it's a little bit of a Chakira. Okay, who's got questions? In other words, how do we understand the Sheikh of the Chachamim that the penalty of Edom Zomin is Mamon before it should be Knas? So we have two Hesberim. One was from the Nesiv. He says that the Chachamim considered to be Mamon when the victim can't get the money out from the one who extracted it from it. But Rabbi Elchanan says no, the Chachamim will hold globally that it's always Mamon with the Chachamim. It's not Knas. Because the Torah says Vasitam lo kasher zamam la'asot le'achiv. You do as he plotted to do. When it says you do as he plotted to do, it means the same din that's imposed on originally on the victim, then we pick that thing up and then we impose it on the Adam Zomerman. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, let's move on. Now wait, one sentence. Let's take a look at that. Okay. Okay, now we're 10 lines down on Hey Amud Aleph. Everybody with me? Ha ones fahamafat mosi shemra. Dimamonuhu litni. Now, again, Rabbi Chia, which was the Brisa with the 24 items, he mentioned three items. Among the three, he mentioned Ones is the rapist, Mafat is the seducer, Motzi Shemra, the defamer. So he says those are Mamona who litten. Now, how are they Mamona? Clearly, there's a Knas in each one of them, but it's not just Knas. There are other elements of damage. There's Boshet, there's Pagam. So there are elements in damage in it. That being the case, why doesn't Rav Oshia teach them? So the Gemara says Manavshah. Inezek Tanale. Now, these words, Inezek Tanale, so some take that line out because it'll be clear in a minute. But if it's Nezek, he taught Nezek already. That's damages. In other words, Nezek is really the same as the Pagam. We'll see in a minute. Itzar Tanale. If the element of damage is Tsar, so he taught Tsar. Iboshet, and that's why they take it out because it's Boshet. Iboshet Tanale. He has Boshet. Ipagam, I nezek. In other words, the pagam is a nezek. In other words, both the pagam is she's embarrassment, and pagam is like she, her value went down. So that's nezek. That last one is nezek. So that's why they don't learn in the first piece. So my little name are kanasa. What's left is the kanasa. The kanasa look by. He's not talking about kanasa. Okay, everybody good? Any questions on that?
The reason that the pagam is going to reduce her worth is because maybe he wants to come and give her to his eved.
No, I don't know. No. You have a young girl was raped.
Right.
So now she suffered damages. So
but the pagam over here means that she is no longer betula.
Right.
Okay, and that means that her erech is reduced.
Right.
Okay.
All right, let's take a look. All right, now.
It says a person would be willing to pay less for her now that she's not, because maybe he would even give her to his Evan. Would rather
wait,
give...
wait, say again, repeat. Are you reading?
I am.
All right, we got it. She's worth less now. Okay. All right, let's go further. All right. Yeah. Now again, in terms of in terms of a Kohen, so yeah, Kohen Gadol, right? Okay, let's see back to the word. Now, around line 15, Hamitame b'Medameva Manaseh b'Mamona Hulit. Now, three other elements of damage that Rebbe Chiya quoted in his brisa were Mitame. Let's say a person brings a dead sheretz, and you have a pile of truma, and I'm Mitame the truma, and now it has to be burnt. That causes damage to you, Medameya. I mix some truma into your chulin, and now there's no betol in it. In other words, the shear is not enough for betol, but now you can only sell it to konim, so you're suffering damage. But I'm an aseich. I take some of your wine, or I take your wine, and I pour it for avodah zarah purposes, so I ask for the wine, and hana. So those are elements that's the mamonahu. So the Gemara says, I'm causing mamon, you know, it's financial loss. Litany, why does Rav Oshia not teach those elements? Again, Rav Oshia is only teaching mamon, not kenas. Fine, but why doesn't he teach those three? So the Gemara says, "Vanashas, he hezek sheino nikar shmei hezek atamali nezek." Now this is hezek sheino nikar. Hezek sheino nikar means okay. Let's all just listen, and then I will pause. Okay, and then everybody can write their whole paper. Now it means like this. The hezek sheino nikar means if I look at the object, it looks exactly the same as before. So let's say I have truma, and somebody brings a dead sheretz, touches it to the truma, and moves away. The truma looks, and physically, is the same as it was before. But the truma now is valueless because it has to be burnt. And then the same thing with medameya. In other words, I had maybe it's wine. I mixed in some truma wine into the wine, so the wine looks like wine as it was before, but now the value crashed. And the same thing menaseich. He took the wine, he poured it from the Avodah Zarah. It looks like the same wine. So he says, so, e hezek sheno nikar shmei hezek. If Rav Oshia, or this is Rav Oshia, right? If Rav Oshia holds hezek sheno nikar shmei hezek, that is actual damage, tanalei nezek. So you already taught nezek. So he doesn't have to teach it again. E hezek sheno nikar lashmei hezek. If we assume that hezek sheno nikar is not hezek and it's not normally compensable, habalei kenasis. Then, these damages are a type of knas, means like a penalty. So, ubi knas lo kamayri. He's not talking about knas. Okay? Now, let me just do a few more lines and we'll pause. Now, the Gemara having explained the Shita of Oshia, the fact is that Rabbi Chia did mention these three items. And he's mentioning it in addition to Nezek. What does that tell us about the opinion of Rabbi Chia? So, lemek sava Rabbi Chia, hezek shenonikar, lash me hezek. So within Rabbi Chiya, if the Tana Rabbi Chiya is teaching me that damages, and then he's teaching me metame, metameya, menaseich, then it must be it's not nezek because he taught nezek. So if it's not nezek, it must mean that he holds. He says that hezek shenoni kar lashme hezek ish me hezek atanale nezek. So it must be he holds that way. So So is that what he holds? Does he hold that hezek shenini klash by hezek? So the Gemara says no. Tana hezek de minkura, but tana hezek de lo minkura. In other words, it could be that he holds that it is called nezek, but he wants to create a different category. There's hezek de minkura, where the nezek is clear and, you know, recognizable, and hezek de lo minkura, and that's a different category according to the Tana. According to Rabbi Chiya's price, I should say. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts?
Yeah. Why do you need to distinguish whether it is recognizable or not?
Well, it's more of a chiddush if I could say that, you know, has a chenini part. Don't you think that what did I do?
If you do not recognize and it is mehezek, then hezek was
all right. But he's saying we have two categories. Okay, now. Let's take a look. Okay. All right. Now I'm going to move on unless anybody has any more questions. Okay? Okay. Now, so we're around, you know, 20 lines from the bottom. Bishleimel Tana Didan. Now we're shifting like a new paragraph. Bishleimel Didan, Tana Minyanan Liuti Dereboshia. Now, when the Tana teaches me a number, in other words, we assume that people know how to count. So when the Tana says there are Arban, Avot, Nezikin, so it's teach me these are the Avot and not what. So he says, that's the Mi'uti, the Reboshi. In other words, the Tana of our Mishnah on Daf Beis holds these the Avot, Nezikin, whereas Reboshias are not Avot. He says, Reboshia, Tana Minyana, Mi'uti, Rebechia. Reboshia teaches a Braisa and says there are 13 Avot, Nezikin, to the exclusion of Rebechia, who says there are 24. Eliminyana, Rebechia, Lemi'uti, Mai. Why does Rabbi Chiya have 24? What else is left? So he says, "Lemiute Moser Umafagel." Rabbi Chiya is saying there are 24 to the exclusion of Moser and Mafagel. Moser is a person who, turns a Jew over to non-Jews, like that they should seize his property. That's Moser. Wait, just 2 minutes. I'll pause and everybody chime in. Okay. So it's Lemiute Moser. Now, Mefagel is when a person, you know, is handling the korban. Let's say he's a kohen, and he thinks that the korban will be consumed either by the humans or the mizbeah outside the right zman. Now, that's Mefagel. So he ruins, that korban is not acceptable anymore. That's not acceptable. So he says, my lemiuti moser Mefagel. So v'litni, so why taka doesn't he teach those two? So he says, v'shlema Mefagel b'kachim lo kamayri. So Mefagel not, he's not talking about Kachim. In other words, Mefagel is drafted by Kachim. I'm not talking about Kachim. Fine. Elamoser, my Tama Lotani. Why doesn't he teach the case of Moser? So Shani Moser, the Dibura. Because Moser is just speech. You're not physically doing anything to anything. Ubi Dibura lo Kamairi. So in Akinami, Moser is a type of damage, but it's not the same type of damage that we're speaking about. Bahamotzi Shamer, Dibura, Huva Katani. But Motzi Shemra, like the defamer, he says that this girl was not a betula. That's just dibur, and yet he teaches that in the brisa. Dibur de itbe masu. Gemara says that's a dibur that has a maisa because the prerequisite to be Motzi Shemra is he has relations with her. He has relations with her, and then he says lo matzati betulim. So in order to be Motzi Shemra, you have to have relations with the woman, right? So it's not just dibur. Just let us be patient 1 second. What about Adam Zomin? That's Dibur, and yet he teaches it, that Rabbi Chiya does in the Braisa. Hatam, Afagav, Leipay Maase, you're right, there is no Maase with the Adam Zomin, but Rachmana Karya Maase, but the Torah calls it a Maase. Yachiv, Basitam lo kasher zamam la'asot li'achiv. You should do to him like he plotted la'asot li'achiv to do to his brother. So the Gemara takes it that's they did something. Okay? All right. Now we're ready for all the comments, questions, and thoughts.
Defamer.
One second.
I'm saying with a defamer, he's not able to come and say, I wanted to be with her. I realized she's not a betula. I didn't touch her.
No.
With
that,
say
whatever you want.
But that's not the case.
That's not the case that Torah describes. Okay. All right. Now, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. So I'm going forward. All right. Okay. Okay, let's take a look further. Okay, now, now it's like a new paragraph again, around 10 lines to the bottom on Hayam and Aleph. B'shleim of the Tanidan, Tana Avot, the cloud that you could told though. So the first Mishnah in our Masechta says Arba'a Avot Nezikin. So when it says Avot, that means that we said, why does he use the term Avot? Because they're a toldot. It means they're a similar action, but those are called toldot. And if you remember, if you look at Rashi, 3 lines before it gets medium wide, the Chalke toldot, to the Parshin Le'el, like we explained earlier, the Chol Chabachan, Gifo Neshicha Karen. Karen has toldos, the Gifo of the animal pushes or bites. Nechacha Lahana'ata, if it rubs, you know, for its Hana'a, it says toldot the shame. Bechein Lekulam. So they have toldot. Fine. El Rabbi Chiya Reb Oshia, but Rabbi Chiya Reb Oshia, it says Tani Roshia Shoshasar Avot, the rule Avot, and Rabbi Chiya also says 24 Avot, Avot Bechlal Dika Toldot. So he says it sounds like there should be Toldot. So the Tana Mayini, what are their Toldot? Meaning there are no Toldot. There was Mosi Shemra Midamea Midasei. There are no Toldot. Those are the things. So why does it say Avot? So Amar Yibahu Kulan Kaavot L'Shalim Meita. So Rabbi Bahu says that the term avod as used in the Braisa of Rav Oshia and the Braisa of Rabbi Chiya, it means they're avod mishalim meitav, that they all pay from the meitav. It was like the shor muat meitav. So my time, now why is it that all these 24 cases pay for meitav? Akitacha netina yishalim keset. Let me say this outside, then we'll do the Rashi inside. So we know Meitav by Shane Varegel of the shore by Shane Varegel, if it stomps or it eats. So this then Meitav. So he has four psukim that teach us known cases where we have Meitav. And in these four psukim, it mentions four words, Tachat, Natina, Yishalin, and Kesa. And we'll go through the psukim shortly. So all the other cases that we mentioned are linked to one of those four words. All the 24 cases are linked to one of the four words. That's basically what he's saying. So yeah, one minute, we'll go through it. Okay, and Daniel has a chart. Okay, so we'll go through this. Okay, let's take a look. You know, I hate to borrow you. Yeah, thank you. Okay, now. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you. Okay. Actually, I want to do a different pasuk. If you page 4 in the Arzul Chumash on page 426, which is pasuk Chaf Bey is pasuk Dalin. So the Torah says Kiyaver Ish Sadeu Cherem. Yaver Ish, he translates men for its livestock. It's nothing to do with fire. Remember, Yaver, that which consumes. Yaver Ish Sadeu Cherem. The Shilachet Biro, that's Regel. He sends forth his animal, Uvier B'Sadeu Cher, that's Shane, Meitav Sadeu Meitav Kermo Yishalem. So the tortfeasor, the owner of the shore that does the damage, has to pay. If he pays with land, he has to pay with Meitav. Everybody got it?
It is.
What Kiyaver Ish the Shilaka Biro. Biro is the shore. Ubier Bastayakher. Shilak is the regel and Ubier is the shame. Okay, that's the main pasuk that teaches us Meitav by the okay, let's look at Rashi now, and then I think we have time. Okay, now the first medium wide line in Rashi. Everybody with me? On Hayam and Aleph. Takat Natina Chule. Everybody's thinking the Rashi. The Bekulu Ktiv, by all of the 24 cases, it has one of the four terms that we mentioned. O Tachat, either it has the word Tachat, he says, V'gaminan Tachat Tachat Mishor Muad. The Thibbe Shor Tachat Ashor. So this Pasuk is. With 2130, thank you. Okay. So page 424 in the art scroll, it says Ono Daki Shor Nagakum and Moshe Shomali Shrena Balav, Flame Yishlame Shor Takat Ashor Vemate Yelo. So if it's a Shor Muad, you pay Shor Takat Ashor. He's got Nezek Shalem. So see, but let's take a look back in the Gemara, in the Rashi. The Kulkiv O Tachad, that's the first one. Tachad, the Gemara, Tachad, Tachad, Mishur Muad, Tib Mishur Tachad Ashur, Mahatami Meitav, by their Shur Muad, and it has to be the Meitav, the Gamar, Mishain Varegel. In other words, that Pasuk we learned from the first Pasuk, the Tib Meitav Sadeu, Avkan Meitav, Shein Balish, in other words, the first Pasuk that we did, so we're going to change the regel. And we're going to learn the Shor Muad from the Shein Veregel. Shein Baal Shleim Karkel Nizak Shulei Zeko Magbiyo Min HaEidit. We collected from the best property. So either it says Tachat O Natina, or it says Natina. V'gamar Natina Natina Mishor Shemagachat HaEved Tzibbe Yitain La Donav. So it says, what Pasuk is that? Okay, 32. It says, right. So page 424, if Eved got Shoroma, Krishna's telling me Tain Ladanav, but Shreisaka also may have. O Yishalem is the third term. Yishalem, the Gamar Mishain Bereg, the Tibbe Bahen, Maytav from O Yishalem. O Kesef is the fourth term, the Gamri me Bor. We learn from the Bor, the Tibbe Kesef Yeshib Baalav. But Arba Avod, Rashi tells us the Arba Avot Nezikin, which were mentioned in the Mishnah, and we're assuming for this Limud, we learn it all out from Shein Veregel. So Rashi doesn't say exactly how we learn it out from Shein Veregel, but all the Arba Avot we learn from Shein Veregel. So it's a given. No. Shein Veregel we know, but he doesn't say how we know all the four Avot are the same din as Shein Veregel. But the thing is, it comes out that that's a given. So those four psukim, we know that they're Meitav, and we have the four terms. Now, he goes through all the other avot where they are. We'll go through. We'll see how this goes time wise. Okay, he says, "Give me Rishen Veregel." Now, on the second white line. So, if you remember the Brice of Rav Oshia, he had 13 avot nezikin. He begins with the four shomer. That's where he begins. So, b'shomer chinam tiv asher yashion Elohim l'shon kol yishalim. So, as yishalim, that's check. B'shomer tiv ba'alabi nimo shalem check. Benose sachar k'tivim ganobi ganei b'imo yishalem. Check. Socher eino k'tiv b'Torah. Socher is not written anywhere in the Torah. The Socher is the one who leases it. About dino k'nose sachar. He's got the same din as the shomer sachar. The nezek. Excuse me. K'nose sachar. Okay, now. The nezek d'chovel b'chaveiro k'tiv netina. K'ni natin bo. So, nezek by Chova B'Chaveiro, the person wounds his friend, it says Natina, Keni Natin Bo. It's Kasher, you know, so that's another check. By Numamo Nanitan Liyad Liyad, Kershin B'Chovel. That's talking about Mamo. B'Tsa'ar, again, we're going down the list here. So we had the four Shomrim, then we had Nezek, then we have Tsar, Ripu, Shevet, and Boshet. So he says, B'Tsa'ar, Kti, Petzataka Tatsa, B'Darshin Alei, L'Kam B'Chovel, Petzataka Tatsa, L'Tain Tsar, B'Makom Nezek. So we're going to have Tsar. The Ripui B'Sheve Tiv Natina Shivto Yitain Rapo. Now, here we have a B'Sheve, but he says on the side, last year tomorrow, B'Boshet. Boshet, again, going down the list here, he says, Ripui Shevet Boshet. Boshet is embarrassment. Boshet Tiv Tachat Gabi Ones Umefate. Tiv Tachat Asher Ina. So it says, by the Ones Umefate, like Tachat Asherina, because he afflicted her. The Shibach Tuba Be'elu Perak in the Narod, Kamshim Kesef, Tachat Ha'inui. In other words, you've got to pay 50 Kesef as the penalty, Michal V'ika Boshet U'Pagam. In other words, so we could deduce, coming, in other words, it says, Boshet says, Tachat Asherina, in other words, Shibach Tuba, Kamishim Kesef Tachana Inui. It sounds like 50 Kesef, like in it for the Inui, but there are other damages he has. So there's Boshet and Pagam. Now, Mishnah Harin, a different version, Holchti Bechovel Bechaveiro Tacha, Tzib Tacha Patsa, Kulu Kamisha Dvarim, Dideh Mihatam Gemrina. Another limud is that all five we learn from the Petsa Tacha Patsa. Now, continuing on, Betashlumi Kefel, now we're going to the Brice of Rabbi Chia. Tiv Yishalim Shnayim Yishalim Tashlumi Arba B'Chamish Tiv Chamisha B'Kar Yishalim Tachat B'Gomer. He says the Karen the Ganav B'Chlal Kefel Hu. it was kapel, so I know the Karen Lagana. Uva gazel ktiyab natina benatan lasher shamlo. The edim zomim ktiyab who nefesh benefesh. He says ukamanda ktiyab taka dami. So it doesn't say taka, but it's as if it did say taka. In other words, you'll do take a life for a life. He says ba ones umafate umotzi shemra ktiyab kasef benatan lavi anara chamishin kasef hainu ones mifate kasef yishkol kmoar b'tulod umotzi shemra banshuto mei kasef. So they all have kesef. So he assumes that's included in Nezek. Anyway, the idea is that with all of them, we learn makeup. Okay, I got to pick up the pace now a little bit. We don't have a lot on the base, but I want to make sure we finish that. Okay, back in the Gemara. It says what? Yeah, well, he says on the side, the Maharam says, if you look on the blurb, says that's what he says over there. So it's different than what the Rashi had. But okay. All right, now let's we're five lines from the bottom of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, now the Gemara wants to touch up the Mishnah now. So we went through in the previous Dapim that each element of the Arba and the Mozikim, they each had a Chumrah. So the Mishnah says, Lo Hari Ashur Kari Amaveh. The shore, the aspect of the shore is not like Mabe. Now, shore, we have the Machloket Rav and Shmuel. So, according to Shmuel, shore is the Regel and Mabe is the Shein. And according to Rav, the shore is the Karen, Shein, and the Regel, and the Mabe is the Adam. He says, My Ka'ama, what does the Mishnah mean? Am Rav Zvid, Mishnah made the Rava, Hachi Kamar, lift over Rachman Achada, but take the Idach Minei. In other words, why could the Torah Knight write one, and then I'll learn the other one from them? So he says, because Lo Hare Ashur Kari Mabe. So I can't learn one from another. And then the Tana Mishnah says, Shor and Maveh, that's different because they have Ruach Hayim, they have the life. Either they're both elements of the shore or the Adam and the shore. Like Amar, Amar Mishar Shem Mishmei Derava Haki Amar. Turn page on the top line on Hamid Beis. Lichtov Rechman Atarti B'teiti Idach Minayhu. This is why couldn't the Torah write two of them? In other words, why can't the Torah just write, let's say, Shor and Mave, and then we'll learn Bor and Hever from them? He says, you can't do that. I can't learn one from the two, because Lohare, in other words, the Mishnah says, well, it's really one and three, but he says, the Mishnah says, Lohare Ashor, Lohare Mave, Lohzeb Ezeshishman Ruach Sayim. You can't compare mammon that's a living mammon to Aish, which is non-living mammon. So I can't learn it out. Now, Amar Rava, the Kulu, now, so the svar that we had up till now is the presumption the Torah had to write each one, teach psukim by each one, because I couldn't learn one from another, and I can't even learn one from two. That's what we think. So now, Amar Rava, the kulu kishad bor beinayhu ati kulu b'mehatzad. Rava says, if I take bor and join bor with any of the other three, I'll be able to learn the others from it. He says, b'mehatzad the bar mi keren, except for keren. Keren I can't learn out. Mishum te'ikul mevrach malakulu shein muadim etchilatan. Kulu, they're muad from the get-go. In other words, keren is not muad from the get-go. Now, this long Rashi, which we will not do this whole Rashi, but we'll do a little bit of the Rashi, but just so you get the idea as to how the limud would go. So let's look at the Rashi, 10 lines above where it gets wide. He shot a bor beinayhu atya, everybody with me? It says, ikti bor b'chad mehanach, if it would say bor and one of the other one, he says, atya kulum me'ahu u'me'idach, b'tzad ha'shabah. So b'tzad ha'shabah is a learning from both. He says, the ikti bor b'keren, he begins with Bor and Karen. Let's say the Torah would teach me by Bor, that the Yechayev and Ezekiel, and by Karen. At Yishen Minayu. I'd be able to learn that Shein. How? Hachi. Ma Bor Shein Darko Lelechu Lahazik Chayev. Bor does not on the move. He says, but Yechayev for that. Shein Shdarko Lelechu Lahazik Lo Kol Shein. So Shein, which is like a moving, so it means that there's more, responsibility. You're certainly Chayev. Ma Labor Shein Chila Siyatu Omi Lenezek. But Bor, the get-go is made for Nezek. It's like, Tomar B'Shein, so Shein is not that way. So Karen Yochia, Karen the horn, you know, does one thing, nezek. He says, Mal Karen can cover until the hazik, but Karen, the animal intends to do damage. That's why you have liability. Or Yochiach, you don't intend. The chazar, it means it's done nothing that's intending to go out damage. The chazar again, at Sasha, but then Shadark and Lazik, Umamunchar means the Shmer Tanalacha, Afani Bishain. Okay, and he goes through the other ones the same way. Well, it's going to come out fire. You'll have also. He'll have. He's going to. He, in other words, he go later on. He'll have. He'll have. Let's hear. Yeah, he's got Ash here later on. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but we can learn the other ones as well. Yeah, you can learn. Yeah, he'll look at the fifth very wide line in Rashi. Okay. V'cheini katav rachmana. Oh, wait, no, born shame. We're doing born Karen. One second. One second. One second. Yeah. So, okay, the fifth wide line. One second. V'cheini katav rachmana bor v'shein at kului nechnami the bar mikaren v'haydin amal bor shein dark leglazi chayav. Regal the Aish, so Kosh came. Regal the Aish, I learned also. So he's got Aish in there. Aish is included in the Limud. All right? Now I have to wrap it up. Let's get back in the Gemara. So he says, so he says, I can learn everything except for Karen. I can't learn out. Now, on line five, so now it's getting a little muddier, our Limud, because it's not working out right. Why did the Torah have to write all these things? It didn't have to write all the things. If it was Torah, could have written by two of them, and I learned everything out from the two, except for Karen. Right. Lamantamar Adraba Karen Adifa, according to the opinion, says that Karen is more liable to Kabanatola Hazika, people Karen Namiacha. So according to that opinion, I'd be able to learn out Karen as well. El Lamai Hilchata Karpinu Rachmana Karpinu Rachmana. So he says, so why then? So the Torah did not have to write them all down, because I could have learned them from two of them. So why did the Torah write them all down? And then again, when we said in the Mishnah, it's not just the Arba but the Tikkun. And according to Rav, you have the three. You have the Karen, Shane, and the Regel, and you have Adam Amazik. It's really six. You have six items in the Mishnah, right? You have Bor, Aish, and then three by the shore, and you have Adam, right? So it comes out six. So he says, the Torah wrote each one for its unique halacha. What are they? Karen lechalek bein tam lemuedet. Like Karen, the Torah writes Karen to teach me there's a difference between shor tam and shor muad. Shein v'regel lepotran b'rishut harabim. Shein v'regel is only chayev in the rishus l'nizak. It's not chayev in the rishus harabim. Or the Torah wrote a kalim. Bor has a chiddush, but not al shama shor o chamor. So Chazal like learn out. Let's say a person's donkey falls in with a saddle, and the donkey gets killed, and the saddle gets ruined. You're not chayev for the damages to the saddle. Who's Rabbi Yehuda? Wait. Bor is chayev in the rishus harabim, right? Okay. Now. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, no, you're chayvim for niske kalim of the boar. Liftorbo et ha'adam means, it sounds like it was somewhat counterintuitive. If your animal falls into the boar, you're chayv for damages. But if a person falls into the boar, you're not chayv because the person is like supposed to watch out for himself. So we didn't get up to that yet. Did you do you had that already? I didn't do that daf, but I have to review.
Nine damages, 10 kills.
10 kills. All right. Now Adam, why does he teach me Adam? L'chayvo ba'arba advarim, to be mechayev him for four elements of damage. Eish liftorbo at a tamun. Eish is the patch of the tamun. Means the halakha has its own unique halakha. It means, let's say I light a fire and it burns down my friend's wheat stack. And in the wheat stack, he had clothes, but in the wheat stack, you couldn't see it. It says, halakha, I'm only chayav that way, but it says, oha kama, kama stalk, but kama, that which is exposed. that which is taman, I'm not chayav for it. So he says, Eish l'ptorbot taman. Rabbi Yehuda is mechayav on this case taman be'esh, but according to Tan, Rabbi Yehuda, you are chayav for taman be'esh, but tu yemai. So what does the Torah have to teach me esh for? On the top line of the Gemara, to include the case that these damages are compensable, if the fire singed a plowed field. Now, I'll explain in a minute. And it scorched stones. Let's see Rashi, and then we'll talk. On the top line of Rashi. Right. In other words, these are things that can't be burned. In other words, it's dirt and it's stone, so it's not going to burn down. So latui licha niro, shim licha ha'esh, if the fire like sort of scorched it, harisha toshel chaveiro, in other words, your friend was plowing his field, and now the fire came and kind of like scorched the surface, and now he's got to re-plow it. He says, oh, sichtaka avanav, where it scorched the stones, chayev, ba'avanim, then your chayev will come. Ba'avanim shayach l'shon sichtuk, by stones, Rashi has all this diktuk around, you know, like language. They're interesting Rashis, if you can remember where all the Rashis are. He says, he's explaining like the Hebrew language. He says, Ba'avanim shayach l'shon sichtuk, shon nisrapu l'gamrei. Sichtuk is when the damage hasn't been done totally to the object. So it's called sichtuk. So he says, Elosh sichtuk ha'vanid b'ka ha'ish b'hem. It was like it scorched it. Sichtuk ha'ma'at. Yidaminan gabi b'kimat sakin b'susechet miruch ha'kad. Shonifka ma'mishtet stadim l'gamrei. Like in Chulin, it talks about if you have a knife, so there's a b'kima. The way I remember it is, like Pagima is like it's on both edges. The way I remember was it's on one side of the knife, but Pagima, if both edges are exposed, that's one way, and if the cut is like at an angle, it's another way. Misuksechet. I have to go over again. In other words, he's explaining the lashon misuksechet. Misuksechet means not totally, not whatever is done to it is not totally happening to the whole object. So he's saying by the pekima, it's not misuksechet's either what I said or it's from both edges of the knife. But either way, the thing is not totally, you know, pekima with the knife. He says shnei states started, but anyway, l'hachit of eish l'chayva bahani. So he wrote eish to be mechayv in these cases. Then after lanatam me o hasadeh lo shemina meharat manitin. In other words, o hasadeh, it was kiaver eish sadeh o cherem mentsadeh. He can't say eish matzat tatzim in a chagadish o hakama o hasadeh. If a person sets forth fire and it consumes o hasadeh, the chazal understand from there that you're liable for damages even if the only thing the fire scorched was the dirt. In other words, fire normally burns like things with carbon in it, you know, wood and things like that. So, but this is like not the typical thing. But it's teaching. Okay. But it's teaching me. Yeah, that's what's teaching me. Okay. Now let me just do a little piece from one of the sheets, and that'll be it. Now, one second. Today's okay, we'll do Moser, and that'll be it. Okay, although an informant damages with mere words, this prohibition is certainly one of the worst forms of damage mentioned. The Shulchan Aruch rules that an informant, even if he only places a monetary law, forfeits his portion in the world to come. This includes a person who goes to secular courts with another Jew without trying to settle their differences in the Jewish court of law. Two friends once had a fight over money, and the argument degenerated into some very personal invective. One partner offered to go to Beis Din. This merely infuriated the other even more. Finally, he threatened that if the first party did not pay him what he felt was owed to him, he would inform on him to the non-Jewish authorities. The one who had wanted to go to Beis Din refused, and his enraged former friend was stalked off in the direction of the domicile of the local magistrate. People were shocked, and they warned him that an informant is one of the lowest levels to which one can sink, but to no noticeable avail. On his way, he had a change of heart, possibly as a result of the admonishments, and turned back. Shortly after, he was slated to give testimony in Beis Din regarding another matter, but some people who had witnessed his outburst were afraid that he may be ineligible like a man who had informed on his fellow. And there was a Moser, he didn't, but it was said, after all, everyone knew that he had meant to act as an informant, even though he had a change of heart. This would-be informant claimed that although he had threatened to do his former partner egregious harm, he had not actually done anything. When this question was raised before the Beis Yaakov Tzal, he ruled that this man was ineligible to be witness until he repents in the manner that is prescribed for those who are ineligible to testify because of their sins. We treat this man as if he had actually informed on his fellow Jew. All right, that's it tonight.